You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Michael Regei here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Going to the hotline now to bring in my guy from CBS, senior NFL analyst and insider, Pete Prisco. Pete, what's up, my brother?
We're going to miss you in a couple weeks, huh?
I'm bummed out. I'm going to be in New York. You should come up to New York with me.
Yeah, we got to do all those shows down in South Florida, so.
I know. You're out in California these days. What are you doing out there?
Rome show. Doing Jim Rome.
Excellent. Pete Prisco is our guest at Prisco CBS on Twitter. Pete, as we get closer to this draft that seemingly is still forever away, things seem to be coming into a little bit more shape at the top of the draft. You know the Jacksonville Jaguars very well. What is your expectation for them at number three as of today?
Who's there when I'm picking?
let's say Clowney is gone and one of the offensive linemen are gone, Robinson or Matthews.
Then I think the decision is between Khalil Mack and Sammy Watkins. And they love both of them from what I understand, people I've talked to. So I think it'll be between those two. And if you look at their offense, they don't have a dynamic playmaker on offense. They've addressed the defense a little bit in free agency. But they still always say that they could use more pass rushers. And you know, they come from one of them comes, Gus Bradley comes from the Seattle tree where you rush the passer and attack on defense. So in the end, I think if push came to shove, I think they would take Khalil Mack.
Pete Prisco does a terrific job. You check him out, senior columnist, NFL, at CBSSports.com. Pete, speaking of that, I was very intrigued by reading your piece, I believe it was yesterday, with regard to Jadeveon Clowney, and you even used the Clowney comparison to the NBA's Russell Westbrook. So you are not concerned about the alleged that Clowney is a guy who going to take plays off, don't know what the motor is. Are his skills, his talent so elite that that's something? Do you believe that most NFL organizations are willing to not worry about the other with Clowney?
Well, when you look at his tape, there wasn't as many, you know, the supposed loaf plays as you would think there was. I mean, yeah, there were plays where he took it off, and I actually posed that question to a general manager last week, and you know what he said? He said, well, they're playing 80 plays a game now. You know, with all the up-tempo offenses that there are out there now, in the college game, these guys are on the field a lot more than they used to be. And so it's natural that you're going to get gassed. And when guys don't want to tap out, so they stay on the field and they get gassed. So I think that's a little bit overblown. You know, there are some off-the-field concerns that some guys have, but I tell you what, he's alleviated a lot of those concerns as well. And his business with the team, he's come across very down-to-earth, likable, and everybody I've talked to really liked the guy. So I think you have to push that aside. And people say, well, he only had three sacks. So I'm telling you, he had a ton of pressures. They schemed against him. He had two or three guys on him at times. The guy's special. He will be a special football player in the NFL.
Pete, I certainly agree with you there. It's why I think he goes number one overall to the Houston Texans. You talked Mack, Watkins at three for the Jags. Johnny Manziel, a guy whose business implications would have to be appealing to Shad Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise there. You don't think that's a possibility, though, at three at this time?
By the way, I think the Texans are going to trade out of that top spot. I think that they have their eye on Bortles or Mack and moving down to get an extra pick. I think Atlanta at six is going to go make a real concerted effort to go up to number one. I keep hearing that. And they'll go get Clowney and add him to their defense because they feel like they're really close. And Clowney on that field inside that dome is going to be electrifying. So I think that's a real possibility. I also hear Buffalo's making noise about moving up to maybe go get Clowney and add him to their defensive line. And, you know, that's the rage now. Everybody wants to, you know, they see Seattle win with all the pressure packages and they want to go get their pressure guys. So look for that as a possibility. But in your scenario, if Clowney goes, no matter who picked him, he's going first, if there's not a quarterback, obviously, and then you go number two, I think the Rams in that situation would take Robinson and play him at guard for a year. And then at three, Jacksonville, you know, they like Manziel. But you don't pick to sell tickets. You know what sells tickets? Winning.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. we've heard that. We heard that with Tebow a couple years ago. Oh, they need Tebow to sell tickets. I don't care who you are and who you have on your roster. If your team stinks, nobody's going to the games. That's the bottom line. And if your team's good, they're going to go to the games. And so you don't pick on that. They are intrigued a little bit by him, but I think drafting a 5'11" quarterback who doesn't get to the second and third read as much as you would like, that's a bit risky for number three.
Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, joining us. Pete, I'm going to put what you just said on a loop and run it over and over and over again. You know what sells tickets? Winning. Nathan and I are in lockstep, but we discussed that for the last 2 days. Forget about everything else. You better win, and you better be ready to win early. Pete, with regard to that, it seems to be that Blake Bortles and Manziel, though, are both starting to elevate themselves a little bit. Is Blake Bortles the most ready to play in the NFL right now, even though there are some questions, even ones he raised himself, about whether or not he was prepared to come in and start right away?
I think it would take him maybe a month, 2 months to be ready to play. So you might, you know, play your veteran for, you know, 4 games and then let him take over. But there's a play against, and I want everybody, if they get a chance, to go look at it. There's a play against Penn State where he's flushed and he steps up in the pocket mm-hmm. and makes a throw to the sideline that's just a dart for a big gain. And if you look at it, you close your eyes for a second, you go, boy, that looked like Andrew Luck. And I'm not saying he's Andrew Luck. And a lot of people like to compare him to Ben Roethlisberger because he's big and physical like Ben. But I don't think he has the arm that Roethlisberger has. He's got a good arm, not a great arm. Ben has a great arm. So you look at it and you go, boy, there's some luck in him. Now, yes, he's far from being Andrew Luck, and those guys come around once in a lifetime. But of all the guys, and I know Nathan loves Teddy Bridgewater, but of all the quarterbacks in this draft, he's the one guy I would take.
Now, I know you don't think any of the quarterbacks are worthy of probably a top five pick this year. You're not in love with any of them. So looking at this Cleveland Browns team right now that has had an offseason that says, we do want to win now, is Brian Hoyer the answer? You don't know, but at least he's somebody that can be in there while you bring along a quarterback, which surely they will draft. What do you like best for the Cleveland Browns at the fourth spot right now in terms of overall thought process and position picking or trading back, et cetera? How do you see – what would you be doing if you're Cleveland?
Well, I think I'd take a long look at Sammy Watkins. And I, you know, look, Josh Gordon's a great player. But, again, there's – and I love the guy as a player, and I think he's had a chance to be really special. But let's be honest about it. There's some off-the-field issues there, and you got to hope the heck like he doesn't have any more problems. And I think he's maturing enough to the point where he won't. But even if he doesn't and you get Watkins and Gordon, oh, my gosh. I mean, you're going to threaten the heck out of everybody.
Right.
Just to change the dynamic of your offense and help open up the running game even more. So, and let's throw in the tight end, who's a pass catcher too. So I think that dynamic would help. But if you're not going that way, then you might trade back and get some extra picks to help out. But they have a lot of picks. And I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Cleveland's roster, more so maybe than most people, because I really think they have a lot of the pieces. I mean, you talk about the left tackle, you talk about the center, which that value, people wonder, oh, boy, why – the value of the center position isn't great. Well, it is now because everybody throws so many different multiple looks at you that center better be smart and be able to identify them. You're going to have problems at the line of scrimmage. You got the pass rushers. You got the great corner in Hayden. I mean, they have a lot of nice pieces on that roster. And again, the big question mark is the quarterback position.
Pete Prisco joining us. You check him out at CBSSports.com. He's all over the National Football League, been around it for just a few decades. All right, Pete, the two offensive linemen that everybody rates highly, would it be a big shock to you? Because we're trying to get a gauge with this, with Kyle Shanahan coming in, as you know, to run Mike Pettine's offense, and now with his zone read and zone blocking schemes in his run game, would it knock you off your feet and floor you if the name called was either Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews for the Browns at four?
Well, I think they want to upgrade at right tackle. No, it wouldn't be a shock. But I would say this: I doubt Robinson will be there. I mean, the kid is. Somebody told me there's two difference makers in the game: one on offense, in the strap, one on offense, and one on defense. And he's the other one, beside Clowney. So I don't think he gets by the Rams if Clowney doesn't get by the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Robinson would be – I think your choice would be between Matthews and Lawan, and I think that's clearly Matthews in that situation. But, yeah, to answer your question, I would be a little surprised if they drafted that.
Pete, you talked about the roster. How do you grade Ray Farmer's first offseason? Obviously, the draft's going to be a big component about that. But what they've done now that you've got the full body, the way they handled the Alex Mack situation, which you know a lot about being down in Jacksonville, the way that they brought in Dansby Whitner, Ben Tate, Nate Burleson, et cetera. How do you feel overall the body of work Ray Farmer's done in improving this roster over this offseason?
Yeah, and I'm not a big believer in paying backs, but you know, you're getting a back who's a younger back who's also doesn't have a lot of wear and tear because you need a lot of carries or the normal amount of carries. So I'm okay with that one. You know, Whitner to me is always been a little bit of a liability in coverage. I'd be a little concerned about that. He's a big hitter, but a little bit of a liability in coverage. I love the bringing back Mack. I don't care what the price of that was. And again, I said it earlier, the value of the center position, a smart, cerebral center who is athletic enough to get out and get on the second level, to me, the value in that has doubled in the NFL. It used to be, you know, you needed right tackle, left tackle, maybe a good guard. Now you better have that center. He's the second most important player on that line to the left tackle, and they have that. So all in all, I think he's done a nice job. And again, I'm impressed with their roster. I think they have talent on that team.
Pete, because of that, before we let you go, you've stated that. You sound very convinced of that, as am I, the roster I'm talking about. Do you believe that this football team, if Ray Farmer hits some big home runs in this draft with what they've done for free agency, I know there are a lot of factors involved, but can they go from a 4-win football team to, say, a 9-win football team and be a playoff-type squad come December?
It all depends on the quarterback play. I mean, you know, I'm 70% of the game now. And people say, well, it's not 70% of the offense. No, it's 70% of the game. What the other team does is impacted by what your quarterback can do. And what you do is impacted by what your quarterback can do. So if Brian Hoyer or whoever if they draft a guy, can get on the field and show that they're, you know, a 3,500-yard passer and 28 touchdowns, 27 touchdown passes, then, yeah, they could be a playoff team. If he doesn't, if he can't, then no. I don't care what you do. I mean, you might have the aberration season, and I call them that, when defenses dominate and everything, the ball bounces right, you get all the turnovers and takeaways, and you might get to 9-7, you might get to 9-6 and win a playoff game, but it's not sustainable. Unless you get that guy under center and have him around, you cannot have sustainable success in the National Football League. So they have to decide whether Hoyer's that guy or they have to find one.
So, Pete, final question for me. Let's say the Browns don't go quarterback at 4, at 26, 35 of the guys who you think could be around there. Who are your favorites after studying for the Browns and what they're going to do with Kyle Shanahan?
Well, there's a chance that Bridgewater could be there, believe it or not.
I would love it.
And if he was there and they went Watkins 4 and Bridgewater's 26, I think that would be okay for them. And again, I talked to somebody last week in the league who said he's going to need a year of polish to get in and play. So it would be a year process with him, but I think the value would be good there. Again, I'm not enamored with any of those guys. I might hold my ground if I'm one of these teams looking for a quarterback and get one in the third round and take a chance there on a guy like Murray.
Murray,
of all the guys in this draft, of all of them, he anticipates the throws as well as anybody.
Yep.
And by that I mean he reads the field, knows where the guy's coming open and makes a start. Now, he doesn't have to pick a start, but it's good enough. And he's not a big guy. He's coming off an ACL. But of all the guys in the draft, he anticipates the throws better than anybody. So Murray would be a guy I would consider for in the third round. Mettenberger, to me, has the big arm. He looks the part. Does he move well enough? That's a concern. But again, another third-round guy. I do not like Garoppolo. I know a lot of people do. I don't. I was a little disappointed in McCarron. I thought McCarron was better when I watched him. But then when you watch his tape, I was a little disappointed in him. So there's just Carr, to me, is not – I know people love him. I don't. I'd wait to a third round and take a guy like Murray.
Yeah, I agree. I like Murray. I think he might be the best at reading pre-snap and knowing what he's going to do. And I think in today's NFL, if you can win with your mind and be accurate on the short and intermediate throws, you can have a lot of success in today's National Football League.
Yeah, and I'm not on that Logan Thomas bandwagon like some guys in the national media now are either.
You would take him as a project at the end of the draft if he made it late?
I might take him as a project and turn him into a tight end.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. If he fails out, he can become your tight end. He can become your slot tight end. Pete, appreciate it. Enjoy L.A., and appreciate your time. We'll be talking soon, brother.
You got it. Take care, Nathan, guys.
All right, Pete. The great Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at PriscoCBS. Always good opinions, and I know, Reg, he had one line that you like there. If you win, they will come, basically.
That's exactly right. That's all I had to repeat, Nathan, right away. I'm going to get a big placard and put it up here in our Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford studio, man.
There you go.
That's our mantra now.
That is the mantra. Win, and they will come.
Exactly.
They will come on in. All right, we'll be back with a little after further review here on ESPN 850 WKNR.